welcome, and really glad to see you guys. It is not super hot in here. I was worried about wearing gray. Don't feel it anymore, so I feel fantastic. Also, today is August 2nd, and it is me and Kristen's 7th anniversary today, so woo! 2 kids, we'll have another kid next month sometime. I was talking with Molly about how I can say next month now. So next month, we're going to have another kid, another girl. It'll be crazy. So pray for me and give me words of encouragement. It'll be fantastic. Speaking of things that have been going fantastic, over the past couple years, 2 years to be specific, I started running a little bit. And if you have hung out with me in the past year or so, you've probably heard me talk about this a little bit at some point. I try to convince people to go running. For me, it was the emotional health benefits. Sounds kind of weird, but for my personality, there's something to going outside, running, getting my heart rate up that helps me kind of like analyze my emotions, and they become more apparent to me, and I'm able to deal with them in a healthier way because they're kind of before me. So that is the reason why I've stuck with running, because it makes me a more emotionally healthy person. However, running is one of the hardest things I think I've ever done. Maybe marriage, and there's some difficult parts of marriage, following Jesus. We would say there's life things that are very hard, but like physically, running out the door sometimes can be difficult. And it's weird because I can start running, and I'm like, this is easy. And then all of a sudden I run up a hill and I'm like, this is hard. And then all of a sudden I'll get a side ache and I'm like, I gotta quit. And then I'm like, oh, it's hotter than I thought. I think I'm gonna die. I better stop and walk home. There's like so many times running that I'm like, why am I doing this and what's going on? So I have to remember what I'm doing it for and the benefits that it will give me when I put on my shoes, jump out the door, and go for a little run. You know, it's not like it's some like grit, skill, and determination that maybe has to do with part of it, but there's that emotional benefit. I know why I am running. That is what keeps me going out the door. And if we look at our life right now, the current state of the world, our current events, COVID, the fact that I'm preaching with a mask on my face right now, there are a lot of difficulties that we are all facing probably in our everyday lives right now, whether that is some weird job stuff you got going on, maybe you've had a hard time finding work, or you don't know if your job is up in the air because of all the COVID stuff and cutbacks. Maybe you're worried for your health. There's so many things that we can be worried about. And I feel like if we're using that running analogy, it's like we're running and then all of a sudden there's a big hill ahead of us. We got a side ache and it's 100 degree temperature all of a sudden, all at once. Man, this pandemic, lack of toilet paper stuff is starting to go a little crazy and it's wearing on me a little bit. And it's easy to think, at least for myself, I don't know if you're the same, but easy to think, like, how long can we do this? How long am I going to last in this type of living life? Is this going to go on much longer? I don't know if I can take it. So there's a guy in the Bible, his name's Paul, wrote a ton of amazing stuff. And he says this to Timothy, who's one of his like leaders that he was training up. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. That's just an amazing, amazing thing to say, especially when you consider the things that Paul went through in his life, like getting rocks thrown at him, getting tossed out of cities, like almost dying, all the probably relational hardships that he faced in his life. For him to say that he kept the faith and he finished the race, man, that is amazing. So throughout this time that we have been facing, I wondered to myself, like, maybe there's other people in Valley Church that have that same feeling of, man, how much longer can I take? This has been hard. This has been difficult. And I've wondered, maybe you guys are feeling the same way. Maybe it feels like with, especially with your faith and following Jesus, maybe you have lost your way a little bit. Your rhythms have been thrown off. You don't know how to follow Jesus in the same exact way. And when you open the Bible or when you're going into prayer, it just is not the same. Maybe you find yourself sitting there longing for a previous season, even where following Jesus was, I guess, fun or easier. So today, I just want to look at a section of scripture where Paul talks to some people that have lost their way a bit. Because I feel like, if I'm being totally honest, I feel like there have been points during this whole season where I felt like I have lost my way, where I feel like things are not as they should be. So we're going to 1 Corinthians 9:24-27. So if you got your Bibles, you can open up there. But we're going to dive into this scripture and talk a little bit about it, because when I think about the character traits that Jesus followers need to have, this is one of them, or a few, if you will. So here we go, 1 Corinthians 9:24-27. I'll just read the whole section here, and then we'll go verse by verse. So it says, "Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize." All right. So this first verse here in 24, "Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize?" So Paul engages his audience with sports. Who's excited to watch the Trailblazers playing again, and that some sports are getting back, like baseball and stuff? It's pretty cool. I love it. I think it's amazing. So he's talking to these Corinthians about sports because they have these things called the Isthmian Games. And no, that is not my mask. It's like a lisp waiting to happen. It's Isthmian, and it's crazy. It's basically like the Olympics. They have all sorts of athletic events. There's even poetry and singing in there. It's a really cool, like, Renaissance art type thing, but all for the god Poseidon. So it's not that cool, I guess. But Paul isn't saying in this part to these Corinthians, like, oh, only one person's actually going to receive salvation. He wants, in this statement, to tell everyone to adopt a mindset. So he wants people to run as fast and as hard as you can until you finish the race. Okay. Run as fast as hard as you can until you finish the race. First off, I didn't know if you knew this, but following Jesus, you guys are all in a race. Woo! That's amazing. When I was asking, when I was telling you guys that I run, who here is a runner or likes to run or go on a brief jog? Nobody. Come on, Brittany. Yeah, a few of you? Okay. So for the majority of us, like, the idea of running, especially in this heat, just sounds awful. And I don't think that running, again, is the easiest thing. But for Paul, in this analogy, he just wants to tell people that we need to run as hard and as fast as we can, like we want to win. There's, like, he's trying to, like, push people towards trying as hard as they can. Because these Corinthians had lost their way. Just to name a few of their problems, they had a thing for idols, incest, marriage problems, which incest probably didn't help the marriage problems. They had lawsuits, and they weren't growing as fast in their faith as they probably should have, given their circumstances. Those are just a few of the problems that they had. They had lost their way. They originally were following Jesus, but they had gone astray. I don't know if you guys can relate, but it's really easy to stop doing a lot of the healthiest things that we're supposed to do as humans, spiritually, physically, because they're hard. And they don't always come natural to us. Even though we know we should do them, we tend to come up with excuses in our minds not to compete as Paul would want us to. And that's basically what I think what Paul would say to us now. Even though we are in the midst of a pandemic, even though we are in the midst of this crazy racial wars and all these political battles that are happening, I believe Paul would still say to us today that we need to run hard and run fast to win the race. But where do we run? Where do we run to? So we look in verse 25. It says, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. So training, we'll get to that in verse 27. But let's talk about some crowns, not crayons. Girls, crayons. Yeah? No? Okay. The crown that does not last. So according to a few commentaries, the Isthmian game crown was woven pine branches or woven celery. Talk about an elaborate crown. Just thinking about some ranch dressing with a celery crown would be fantastic. But I think that this crown, especially the celery one, does not last. Like, think about a celery crown in this heat right now. That is not going to last. Plus, throw on top of the fact that for most sports, the time frame in which you are the champion is very short. Year by year, the Olympics every 4 years. To be back-to-back champions means you have to have elite physical traits, training, mentality for over 4 years to maintain the championship. People get old. They can't maintain these championships. They are not forever. Titles don't last. Celery doesn't last. And the things of this world do not last. But Paul says the crown that lasts forever is something that we should be chasing after. To know Jesus. To become more like him in all that we do, with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our brother like ourselves, that's a crown that lasts forever. Man, when we run towards Jesus, that's the crown that lasts. That's the one that we should be chasing after. Everything else withers and dies. Verse 26, it says, therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. So the imagery here would be someone ready to, like, they're all cleated up. They're in there, like, they got their race bib on, and they're at the starting line, and they're ready to go, and the gun goes off. And then they're just like, oh, what? And they're running in circles, not staying in their lane, not running towards the finish line. Or the boxer, like, in a title fight, bell goes off, and they just start, like, swinging at nothing, wasting all their energy. Man, we run towards so many random things sometimes, and I feel like this image is, it hit home, especially for me, when, okay, I'm going to be completely honest here and say I have been obsessing, absolutely obsessing over buying a van. And I want to convert it, and I want to drive a lot of places in it with my three girls soon to be. It'll be crazy. But I've been obsessing about this van. That is, it would be a lot of fun, not going to lie. But those are things that I am swinging at the air that don't matter. Focusing on money or mindlessly scrolling our phone, that's a swing and a miss. Man, getting in these fights with people online, letting bitterness take over in our lives. That's a swing and a miss. These are things that we are wasting our energy on. But waking up early, spending time in silence with Jesus, or forgiving a wrong that was done against you, that is a swing and a knockout right there. This next verse, though, is the hardest part probably to take in. At least for me personally, when I was allowing this to kind of wash over me, this is what makes running hard and fast actually possible. But again, it's the hardest part of this whole thing. It's kind of weird. So at first, just get ready for it. It says, no, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave. So after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. M swords, I think is how you say it. Swords sounds really cool. So we'll go with that. He says this. He reveals that his opponent is himself, talking about Paul in this passage. The person that we are running against, the person that we are boxing against or fighting against, is usually ourselves. We, through Jesus, beat down our sinful selves. So in this race, overcoming the sinful desires and having self-discipline and exercising self-control, that might be the biggest hill that we have to climb. Strike a blow to the body is also what Paul is talking about when he says strict training. So from the previous verse up there, scholars agree that that sounds really weird. And it sounds like he's just like, and just punching himself. I don't think that's actually what is going on there. A lot of scholars would say that he is referring to the spiritual internal battle that he is going through. Maybe even the thorn that he talks about in other parts of the Bible. This thorn, this sinful flesh, he sometimes calls it, he is battling internally with that. Strict training, defined by the BDAG, it's a great resource for biblical words and phrases and stuff like that. It says, to keep one's emotions, impulses, or desires under control, or to control oneself or abstain. This strict training Paul is talking about. I used to play collegiate golf, and one of the things we used to do with my teammates is we would do these drills that would simulate tournament pressure. Now, nothing ever really matched it, but we would do these like drills where we would play for money. I don't know if that's illegal or gambling or shameful that I even mentioned it, but we did it. And it simulated this tournament pressure so that when we actually faced opponents in a tournament, that we weren't freaking out in our golf shoes and like crying and sweating and stuff like that. So I think that is what Paul is talking about. He wants us to train ourselves so that when things are real, when things matter, we won't wither away and die like the crown that doesn't matter. And when life is hard and things look bleak, what is our strict training? Now, this is like something that we've talked about a million times already, and I think we're going to keep talking about it forever, because spiritual practices seriously are amazing, amazing. Silence, solitude, fasting, Sabbath, community, these things that we've talked about already, I think these are the drills, the trainings that we all need to make it through this season. And not just make it through this season, but I want to even say thrive, because I feel like there is something scary about going all in for Jesus and wondering if he will actually come through. But I believe Jesus is totally worth it and will actually come through in our lives. When we commit ourselves to becoming more like him, when we do the spiritual practices, man, fasting is like a body blow to ourselves and self-reliance. When we have time and go into silence and solitude, that just squashes all the noise so that we can hear the voice of God. And when we go on a Sabbath, man, that fights against the workaholic, get her done type attitude that we have in our nation. Like, working hard is good, but we need to be able to rest and allow Jesus and all his blessings that he's given us to really speak to us. I think these spiritual practices that Jesus has modeled for us are the way to finish the race. They allow us to get there so that we're not DQ'd. We're not disqualified when we make it to the end. So today, are you running in a way to win the race? When I talk about spiritual practices, when I talk about following Jesus, maybe you are in a spot tonight where you feel like you've lost a little steam or it's not quite what it once was. No shame. I was there exactly like probably like a week ago. I don't know. I was talking with my community about this. It's easy to get ourselves in there, but I feel like Jesus is always there. When we're willing to turn towards him, he is always there. And he has given us these tools so that we can make it. It's so ridiculous how we want to fight against maybe going and taking some time to just be silent before the Lord. But I believe that it is through this that we are running our hardest and running our fastest towards the Lord. Are you running in a way to win the prize? Do you know the goal and where to use your energy? So let's dig into the spiritual practices. I know some of you guys are new, and we'd love for you to be a part of a community and to dive into these together. And some of you guys have been here from the very beginning, and maybe you've lost a little steam with that. Let's dive back in, because I believe that's how we're going to run fast and run hard. It's easy to get into survival mode. Man, let's win the thing. It sounds like so weird, but let's win the thing. Let's allow Jesus to be the biggest and best part of our life. So I'm going to pray, but I just want you guys to contemplate some of those things as we go into worship. And even for you guys to, as you go into your communities, to even talk about some spiritual practices that you might want to revisit. Some places where, like, oh, we went over fasting so fast, which makes no sense, but we went over it so fast, and I don't think that fully set in, and we need to go over that again as a community. So think about that. There's a lot of things that I feel like the Lord has placed on my heart, and maybe this message was only for me, and if that's the case, cool. But I believe that the Lord has something in this passage for every single one of us tonight.